that it may transform our minds, convict our hearts, and change our lives. And I praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Bitterness. We all have gone through seasons of bitterness in our lives. And there's many different reasons of why we become bitter. We might be in our workplaces, and there's just somebody who just keeps on doing better than us. And every time we look at a person, we get bitter. Or every time we do something, and there's this other person who comes and outshines us. Or maybe there's somebody who, every time we put in our work, claims our work for himself, and we get bitter with that person. Maybe somebody has hurt us. Maybe somebody has sinned against us, and we are bitter with them. There's so many reasons why we get bitter. We might just be bitter here because somebody in our home did not carry out the trash this morning. Right? I mean, there's so many reasons why we get bitter, and all of us have experienced different facets of bitterness. Even Jonah was bitter. See, we heard last week that how Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh and preach forgiveness. The reason is because he was bitter with the Assyrians. I mean, they were evil, wicked people who had evil practices. You know, they would go to war and they'll skin people and they will take stakes and put it through people's tongues. And their major enemy was the Israelites. So Jonah had every reason to be bitter with them. But he was not just bitter with the Assyrians. He's not just bitter with Nineveh. He was bitter with God. Because God put him into a lose-lose situation. See, he was in a lose-lose situation. If he goes to Nineveh and he preaches repentance and nobody repents, he might get killed. Loss. And if he goes to Nineveh and they repent, then they won't receive God's wrath. That's loss as well. He's bitter with God. Because God put him into a lose-lose situation. So he does what every one of us does when we are bitter. He avoids the people. See, he went to great lengths and great distances just to avoid the people of Nineveh. Here's a map. He is here in Joppa. He's supposed to go to Nineveh. And 550 miles, he's going to Tarshish. The opposite direction, 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. He's trying to do everything to go the opposite direction. Aren't we the same thing when we are bitter with people? We try to avoid them. They walk on this side, we cross the road. They're sitting on this table, we are sitting on another table. All right, and we let this affect our relationships, you know. We are supposed to go to this party because that person is there, I'm not going. Right, we're supposed to hang out with these people. Oh, these friends are no longer my friends because they are friends with that guy. So our bitterness and our avoidance affects our relationship with other people. In Jonah's case, it affected his relationship with God. Because he was bitter with Nineveh, it affected his relationship. He was bitter with God. He was trying to run from the presence of God. Actually, in Hebrew, what it says, he tries to run away from the face of God. He's trying to escape the face of God. We sometimes let our bitterness affect our relationship with God too. Sometimes we stop going to church because we are bitter with certain people in church. And we avoid. Now, there's different ways of avoiding people. Some of us are the people who go to different places. We try to stay away from people. Some of us avoid eye contact. Some of us avoid conversation. So we like the silent, bitter person in our home. Ever had that in your family, that you're just bitter with a person, you just don't want to talk to them? Even though their home runs on communication, no, you would just stop communicating with them for a while. Right? Regardless of what needs to be done, you are silent. And you will not communicate. You are in avoid mode. And then there's the next level people, like me, who when they're bitter, go the great distances of doing even worse things. We actively do things to bring people suffering. Right? Great distances and great lengths just to make the people suffer who we are bitter with. I remember, most of you guys know I'm divorced, and I was so bitter. I was so bitter because my wife was leaving me for some other man. And I was so, so bitter in my heart, and I did great things just to bring wrath upon her. Because she was deserving of all evil and all wrath. See, what I did was we were packing up our homes, and it was the little evils that just gave me so much joy. Right? I tell you, and it's hard for me to say it without feeling a little bit joy still. It just shows you the condition of my evil heart. Yeah, I'm still a work in progress. Anyways, what happened was we had like two, and the people in Gamma know the story. We had like two rice cookers, and we were like dividing up all the electronic goods that we had in the house and in two different homes. And what happened was, one rice cooker was working perfectly, and the other one had this like fuse problem. When you plug it in, it trips all the fuses in the house. So what I did is I took the one that had broken and I polished it, and I cleaned it, and I made it all nice, and I put it in a nice box, and I was like, hey, evil woman, and my heart was thinking, you know, come here. I, good-hearted Massimo, good moral guy, I'm going to let you choose. Which rice cooker do you want? Right? Now, of course, knowing her, she likes shiny things, you know, so like she took the rice cooker, and I was thinking, oh, she's going to go to her apartment, in a new apartment, she's going to put in the rice cooker, and she's going to cook rice, and boom, the fuses are going to burst. She has no idea about electricity. She's going to be in the dark for days. You know, I mean, it was just joy. I didn't stop there. I continued in the last day, you know, and when we were cleaning up all the house, obviously she wasn't there and no bitterness here. What happened was I was cleaning up all the boxes in my house, and there was this kitty litter and all this dirt. And we had two rooms. One room was where she's going to put all her boxes for her apartment in Monkiara somewhere, in a high rise somewhere, right? And then me somewhere in OUG, right? My other room. And she had these boxes. And what I did, I took a box, an empty box. And I took all the dirt, made it really heavy. And I took the kitty litter that was been there for like 3 days, really stinky. And I put it into that box as well. And then I taped up the box, made it look exactly like one of her boxes. And she had these boxes arranged in like BDR, bedroom, and like K for kitchen, you know, in that room. So I took that box, packed it exactly, put it next to the BDR rooms, copied her handwriting, BDR, right? And I put it there, and then I know exactly what she's going to do. She's going to come to the room with all the packers, and be like, okay, all these to my house. And exactly what happened. She came the next day, and she said, okay, all these boxes in this room, all to my house. And oh, the joy, just thinking about it. What's going to happen is she's going to go to her room. She's going to, the packers are going to go to the room, and they're going to unpack everything. Or not unpack, they're just going to lay the boxes into different rooms, and she's going to be there at night. And she's going to unpack her boxes. And then in her bedroom, she's going to come to that box. And she's going to open up, and all that stench that she deserves, you know, will be in her room for the whole night. And she can't carry the box because the box is too heavy for her to carry, and she has to leave it there the whole night. Oh, the joy in my heart. I mean, we do great things when we are bitter with people. We do crazy things. And it just shows how hard our hearts become when we get bitter. See, Jonah was bitter, and Jonah's bitterness brought him down, 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 right? We heard last week in the passage how he went down to Joppa, down into the boat, and down to the belly of the boat. I went down, down, down. The same bitterness that caused me all to do this nonsense, right? It's the same bitterness that eventually led me to a drug addiction, that eventually led me to lose all my money and all my wealth. That's why I was raising my hand. I know 4 ringgit 32 cents very well. And I went all the way down. It's the same bitterness. And I became tired. Ever been that way? Ever been so bitter? So mentally stressed that you're just tired. So tired. And because I was tired, I was blaming the whole world. I was blaming her. It was definitely her fault. And that's what we do when we're bitter, right? We blame everybody. And we must realize one thing. Though everybody or the people who have hurt us might be the occasion of our bitterness, they're not the cause of our bitterness. Our unforgiveness is the cause of our bitterness. Jonah was bitter because he didn't want to go in and preach forgiveness to Nineveh. It was his unforgiveness that caused his bitterness. And Jonah, too, was tired. He went all the way down to the belly of the boat and he slept. It says he went to a deep, deep sleep. That even the storms couldn't wake him. No, somebody had to come and wake him up. And that's where God came, and God brought a storm. And it's strange things, right, about the storms in our lives. What the storms in our lives do, what the storm did for the sailors, and what the storm did for Jonah, it reveals the condition of our heart. You see, the storm revealed the condition of the heart of the sailors, and it revealed the condition of the heart of Jonah. And we're going to deal with both conditions here. Let's first look at the sailors. What was happening? The storm was coming, and the sailors, they tried everything possible to do just to get out of the storm. Kind of like us, right? Hard times come. We try everything what we can do, and it's only when everything else that we know what to do doesn't work out, then we start praying. And that's what he did. They started praying. They started praying to their gods, started worshiping God. Not God, but their gods. And when that didn't work out, they're like, hey, there's this one guy who hasn't been worshiping his God. Maybe it's this guy's God that is in charge of this. So they went down to the boat. They woke up Jonah, like, hey, Jonah, go pray to your God. And Jonah's like, me pray? I'm avoiding God right now. I mean, it's crazy if you look at the text. It starts with, Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh. And here you see again, Jonah, arise, pray to your God. And Jonah does not want to pray to God. He's avoiding God right now. But we'll get to Jonah shortly. So here they are, getting Jonah up. He doesn't want to pray. They cast lots. And then next thing happens is it falls on Jonah again, and he's kind of pushed against the corner. And when he's pushed against the corner, yes, he finally admits, I'm the one, I'm guilty. I'm the one because of me, because I'm running from God. All these things are coming onto you. And what happens is they are finding, who are you? Where are you from? They do an investigation. They do an investigation because all they care about is getting out of the storm. They're not interested to come into a relationship with God. They're not trying to find out who his God is. All they want to do is to find out who can they pray to, what can they do to get out of the storm. And then Jonah tells them, throw me overboard. Like, what? That's crazy. I mean, it's counterculture. I mean, I'm not going to throw somebody. That's radical. No, we're going to try everything possible. We're going to exhaust every other possible option. So they start rowing. They start rowing all of their might and all their strength. They start rowing, and they don't know they're actually in a rowing contest against God. Right? So they're rowing, they're trying everything, and when that fails, then only they're willing to do the radical thing. And that just shows their condition of their heart. They're not here to worship. They're not here to repent. They're not. All they want is to get out of trouble. They want to get out of their storm. Yes, eventually they obeyed, and eventually they threw Jonah over water, but why did they do it? They do it to get out of the storm. And sometimes we have obediences in our life that seem like repentance, but all we want to do is just get out of trouble. We want to get out of the storm. There's no real desire to seek relationship with God. There's no real desire to do real worship. All we are interested in is self-preservance. What can we do to get out of the storm? Of course, there's Jonah. Now, we are hoping that maybe Jonah's heart is different. Maybe Jonah responds differently to the storm. And it seems that he's doing repentance too. I mean, it seems that he's doing something good there. Right? I mean, he finally owns up. I'm at fault. Yeah, when you're finally pushed against the corner, when you have no choice, when you've been found out about, then you can own up. But at least he does that. At least he says, okay, because there's some of us, even when we're pushed against the corner, we're like, no, it's not my fault. But he's against the corner, and he owns up, says, yes, it is my fault, and it's because of me that you guys are suffering too. And just a quick note here. It just shows that our sins and our disobedience affect others. It affects other people as well. And we got to own up to that. So we must know one thing, that the most loving, the most gracious thing that we can do for our family, for our friends, for our community, is walk in obedience with God. That's the most loving thing we can do. To be faithful to God and walk in obedience with God, because our sins will affect others. So he's there, he's owning up, but it's just surface repentance. Why do I say it's just surface repentance? Because in chapter 3, later on we read, he's still bitter. Yes, he does the actions, he does the preaching, he does what he needs to do later on, but he is still bitter. See, surface repentance is a good illustration. You think of a shark in the water. We have this sin, and it's like a shark. What we do is we always repent of the fin, the surface problem, the thing that we can see. Let's see, Yidian comes to me and calls me fat. Yeah, and then he goes behind the corner and chuckles, you know. And it might be true, you know, but he chuckles, you know, so he's being evil about it. So I get angry and I go up to him, I slap him. Yeah, I slap Yidian because I'm so angry, I call him old. So then I go home and I realize what I've done is wrong. And I say, oh, I shouldn't have slapped him. I shouldn't have called him old. You know, oh Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for I shouldn't be a person that slaps people. And I shouldn't be a person who reacts in that way. What have I done? It seems like I'm repenting. But I've just repented of the surface issue. I've just repented of the fin. What I've done, I've cut off the fin. So what happens next time somebody calls me fat or insults me or chuckles about me, what I do? No, I don't slap. I'm an angry person who doesn't slap. I'm still bitter. I'm just an angry time bomb walking around, not slapping people. Not retaliating, keeping it quiet. What happens is I become numb in my heart. And I don't hate, I don't love, I don't do anything, I just become numb. That's the problem. You have repented of the fin. You've cut off the fin of the shark, but the shark is still in the water. And you've created this deadly animal, this shark that nobody can see, that's ready to devour any time. And you have no idea when he's going to bite. The symptoms are not there anymore. Because you haven't gotten down to the heart issue of the problem. You see, real repentance gets down to the heart issue. Here's a little chart on how we can own and disown our sin. This is some slides I've taken from the City to City Network. And it says here, own your sin. Yes, step one. Jonah did that. He owned his sin. He says, yes, I'm at fault. It's because of me that other people are suffering too. But that's where he stopped. He didn't go to step two. He didn't go and seek deep in his heart. You see, what I should have done, when talking about the repentance with Yidian, the story just now, I should have understood, why is it that I got so upset with him? It's because whatever he said attacked my self-worth. And what Yidian's word attacks my self-worth, and I don't get my self-worth from Christ, no, I get it from what other people say about me. I'm so insecure. I'm not self-confident. I'm not Christ-confident. That is the heart issue. That my self-worth is derived from what people think and say about me, not what God thinks and says about me. So that's the heart issue. And then once you figure out your heart issue, you repent of the heart issue, you say, oh Lord, I'm sorry that what other people say about me is so important. That's where I get my self-worth from. Oh, help me. Help me get my worth from you. You are my creator. You are my maker. You are everything that matters. And you say that I'm your son. That I'm loved. That I'm chosen. Oh, Lord, help me. That's confessing of the heart issue. And then what we do is we disown our sins. What has Jesus done for us? Well, Jesus has adopted me, right? He has paid the price for me. For the action, I'm now a son of God. So he's given me worth. And then we ask the Spirit, Spirit, help me next time when somebody insults me, when somebody is evil towards me, help me not to retaliate, but help me find my self-worth in you. I ask the Spirit to guide me in this. Another way of looking at repentance is downward repentance. Because a lot of times our repentance are habitual habits. And how do we get rid of them? And here it just says, sight. See, again, take a closer look at my heart. Always look at the heart issue. How can I honestly and specifically confess this to Jesus? How has that sin damaged me, my family, and my community. Because sin always damages me, my family, and my community. And we need to vocalize that. We need to think on that. Best we do that in community. So people can hold us accountable to our actions. And then here, how has the sin tarnished the name and glory of Jesus? And how is the sin seeking my ruin? If we take this, if we do this regularly, we're going to start hating that sin. If we start vocalizing and thinking through these things, we're going to start hating the sin. And we'll be able to maybe change. But what was the heart issue with Jonah? What was the heart issue? Was it that he was running from God? He says, yes, it was me. I was fleeing from God. That's the problem. No, that's not the problem. The problem was bitterness, right? The problem is that he thought that Nineveh was undeserving and unworthy and did not deserve forgiveness. You know what the problem is if you think that certain people are not worthy of forgiveness? It means that you think that you are worthy. When you think that certain people are not worthy, you think that you are worthy. And that's the problem, entitlement. Jonah thought he was great. Jonah thought he was good. I mean, he was like a famous preacher. He was like the Tim Keller of the day. But he thought he was good. He thought he was entitled because he was a Jew, that he deserved forgiveness. Because of his ethnic background. And people of other ethnic backgrounds don't deserve forgiveness. Sounds familiar. He thought he was entitled. What he should have realized is that nobody is entitled. That's why it's called grace. Unmerited favor. Undeserving favor. I was the same way. Yes, I was getting my act back together and I started going to church and I started doing some obediences, moved back into my parents' house. But I was still an addict. And I was still bitter. And I thought that I was a moral person. I thought I was a good person. Because I've become in this condition that I didn't hate anybody anymore. No, I was comfortably numb. So I must be a good person because I don't hate people. And there I was. And I went to church one Sunday. And I remember this, I was in Straits Baptist Church and Pastor Ronnie Chu was preaching, and he was preaching through a series of 40 Days of Love. And he was preaching, and he was saying, and he was teaching and convicting me, and he was saying, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is apathy. The opposite of love is indifference. It's not caring, being nonchalant. That was me. I didn't care. I was numb. And it hit home. And he was saying, I am worse than the people who hate? Oh. For the first time in my life, I understood that I'm no good. I'm not worthy. I'm not deserving. I'm wicked. And I went back home and I was confused. I was like, who am I? Who am I? I don't deserve His grace. I don't deserve anything. I'm like Jonah. I'm bitter and I'm running. No, no, no. I'm worse. I'm like the sailors. I'm the storm. I'm worshiping. But all I'm doing, I'm just doing to get out of the storm. And then it hit, no, I'm worse. I'm Nineveh. I'm wicked. The word says that no one is righteous, no, not one. All have fallen short of the glory of God. It finally hit me and I was saying, who am I? Who am I, Lord? I see that everybody else is wicked, but here I am and I am wicked. And it hit me. And I started thinking, who am I? And then the penny dropped. Who am I, Lord? Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you would send your son to die for me? I'm not worthy of your love. How can this be? And I started feeling love beneath the waves. I finally understood grace. I was not deserving. I finally got it. And I think, who am I to not give forgiveness to everybody else in my life? Who am I to run around with a bitter heart thinking that people are not deserving? I'm not deserving. Who am I? Who am I to not give my life completely to you and surrender to you completely? You see, grace is the only thing that can break your heart. Grace broke my heart. You see, grace changes everything. It is God's grace that changes everything. And that's the story of Jonah. While we are running, God is pursuing. See, that's the good news. That while Jonah was there, not really repenting, and just doing surface repentance, God was pursuing him and had a plan to save him. While the sailors were around, just trying to do self-perseverance, God had a plan to even save the sailors. And while Nineveh was wicked, God had a plan to save Nineveh. That is the good news, that while we were yet sinners, God showed his love that he sent his son to die for us. While we are yet sinners, while we are unrepentant, while we are running, while we are wicked. Let me ask the worship team to come up there. I'll just close with a few statements. You see, Jesus said that he's just like Jonah. See, Jonah went overboard to calm the storm. And then he went down, was swallowed by a fish, and he stayed down under for 3 days. And then he rose again to the living. Jesus was thrown into the storm of God's wrath on the cross for us. He stayed under the earth for 3 days. And then he rose again. The only difference is Jonah did it involuntarily. Jonah did it because of his own disobedience. No, but Jesus came and pursued us because of our disobedience. Jonah ran away from the enemy. Jesus ran towards the enemy. Jonah was about revenge. Jesus was about restoration and rescue. It's because of Jesus' finished work on the cross and his resurrection that the wrath of God's storms is no longer for us. No, Jesus took it upon himself. So now we know that whatever storm comes in our lives is not a storm to pay us back for our sin. No, it's to bring us back from our sin. The storms come not for retribution, but for restoration. And it's because of Christ's love and because of his work on the cross and because of God's grace and mercy, because of his goodness, that we can be like Nineveh and we can repent. That we can be like the sailors and give sacrifices and vows to God. That we could maybe be like Jonah, a work in progress, but still used for God's mission. Let us pray. Father Lord, you are a good God. We have We are bitter people, Lord. We run from you. We have hard hearts. We avoid people. But you pursue us. You come after us. You give us your grace. Oh, what love. Father, you are mindful of us. Lord, help us. Help us see who you are and what you have done. Help us experience your grace. Lord, we so often are about our own glory. But we are like grass, and our glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls. But your word lasts forever. Your steadfast love is forever. And your mercies are never ending. They are new every morning. And we give all glory to you.